Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Psalm 143:8. Good morning, First Christian. Welcome, members and guests. Please make sure your cell phones and other digital devices are turned off or silent, and let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship as we listen to Lonnie's prelude. That was gorgeous. Lonnie, thank you. Lonnie and Kathy always have awesome preludes. I love it. There are lots of announcements in your bulletins, a couple special ones. Youth, don't forget that you get a raffle ticket every time you bring in a canned good, and please collect those on the pool table downstairs in the youth room, okay? Anybody actually can donate to that, so don't forget that. All Saints Sunday will be next Sunday. If you have a name of a loved one you'd like to add to our list so that we can honor them next Sunday, please leave that name and the birth and death dates with Kathy in the office by Wednesday of this week, or put it on a prayer card and put it in the offering plate. Popcorn is available to purchase from our troop scouts and cubs from Troop 13. Operation Shoebox, will be filling the shoeboxes for children on Wednesday, November 15th. There's a list outside on the bulletin board across from the copy room of items that can go in those shoeboxes, so let's be generous and fill those all the way. Thanksgiving dinner, Sunday, November 19th. There's a list outside Kathy's office of items that you can bring. There's specific items and a specific number for specific items. So sign up for that. The Thanksgiving dinner is always a great event. Speaking for Becky today, the Iris Clubhouse, which is a clubhouse that provides people with mental illnesses a place to go that they are not judged. It's just a place of safety and peace for them. They are opening on Wednesday, but they still need some items, whether it's used or new. They can use those, and you can talk to Becky Foster, or you can go to Iris Clubhouse. The website link is in your bulletin. They would be happy to have anything that you would like to donate to them. Chicky, do you want to say something about?
It's from 3 to 5.
Okay. Night in Bethlehem, 3 to 5 p.m. She's still looking for people, correct, to help? If anybody wants to help, we're there. Nativity display downtown from November 25th until Christmas. They did that last year. If you have a creche, any kind of creche, you can bring it. It's secured. Someone's there all the time. It's just a way to invite the community to join in the spirit of Christmas. So if you have one, you can talk to Cynthia. And then if you want to provide any kind of music, too, they're still looking for people to provide music downtown when we do that. Mark, you have an announcement.
October is Minister Appreciation Month, and we did not want to let it go by without recognizing all the work that goes into that. We have a card with a gift card for Pastor Cynthia. We also wanted to recognize other folks in the church who have made that their calling as well. I wanted to read from 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. And we wanted to recognize Paul Halleck as well. Who's been coming to our church quite often. Is Bob here? We also have several Timothys in the church who I just wanted to name. Mark Halleck, Dan Halleck, Brian Gross, Don Oliver, Chuck Sherrill, and Julie Bunn. Thank you for everything.
Are there any other announcements? Mike?
Well, as you know, we had a pie contest yesterday afternoon, and it was quite interesting, to say the least. We had 14 pies. That's down from last year by about 3, but I know one of our judges back there put in 3 pies last year, so there's the 3. I want to read off the names of those that won. In the nut pie category, Martha Wallace won first prize. Since that was the only nut pie, She also got second place, so she receives receives a total prize of $3. In the fruit pie contest, Anne Clockseam won first prize. And again, that was the only fruit pie in the whole contest. So she got second prize also, and also won $3. So both of those ladies got their entry fee back. Pumpkin pies. We had four pumpkin pies, and the Rouse girls got both first and second. The first was a salted caramel pumpkin pie, and the second one was a traditional plain pumpkin pie. Anyhow, with that, they won a total of $12. In the cream pie category, we had eight pies. Obviously, this church likes cream pie. First prize went to Kylie Stupak and her grandmother, Linda Day, with a hot fudge pie. And for that, they won $16. Second prize went to Martha Wallace. She had a coconut cream pie to die for. And she won another $8. So if you want to try some of those pies, after church, downstairs, we will be setting out the pies and selling them by the piece for donation. Suggested price is $1 for a slice or $10 for the whole pie. The monies will go into the International Affairs Seminar Fund for our youth to go to the International Affairs Seminar, which takes place every year for seniors in high school, and they go to New York City and to Washington, D.C. I want to give a special shout out to Darlene Bishop. That white Christmas pie was awesome. I'm not a judge, but that was my favorite. I got to, the judges had put all the different pies on a slice on each, on a plate. And after they all left, those were sitting there, and rather than throw them away, I decided to try a few of them. And I'll tell you, that was an awesome pie. So that's all I have. Thank you. Maybe we'll do it again next year.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have a pumpkin patch update from anyone? Do I? Oh, there we go. Who knew? So far to date, $17,137. We got about $3,000 left to go to make our goal. I know Becky and I were semi-busy. We did about $500 yesterday between 10 and 1, and then it got busier in the afternoon, as I understand, but it's a great thing, as always, pumpkin patch. So support that. Go and buy some more pumpkins. Anybody else have an announcement? If not, we will stand and greet each other. Please greet someone that you don't know, and even somebody that you do know. And then we will sing page 73 in... Oh, wait. I always... Yeah. 73 in the hymnal.
much they did yesterday.
Join me in the call to worship. Love, a small word, should be easy to be and do.
Love God, that's easy. I'll pray to ask for you what I need.
I may even show up once in a while in church to worship you.
Love, God keeps saying it. Are we getting it wrong?
Love neighbor. I love all my neighbors. We get along great as long as we stay within our property lines.
Love, I don't think that it is such a small word.
Not easy to be, not easy to do.
Love God.
I'm trying, Lord, forgive my distractions and idols.
Love neighbor.
Help me see the invisible, those in pain, those in need.
Love with all our heart, soul, and mind.
Love.
Please join me in prayer. God, whose love reaches to the highest heavens, how can we keep silent? God, whose righteousness stands like the tallest mountain, how can we keep silent? God, whose justice is deeper than any ocean, how can we keep silent? God, whose grace flows like a never-ending river, how can we keep silent? How can we not proclaim your majesty from generation to generation? How can we not raise the lamp of your salvation for all the world to see? God, whose love reaches to the highest heavens, we praise your mighty name. We love you, Lord, and honor and praise you by saying the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. I'm going to invite Jennifer Grooms to come up. We have her listed later in the program, but she will be downstairs with our children in worship and wonder today. So Jennifer is coming as a representative of our Christian Education Commission.
Good morning. Christian Ed is enjoying, you know how on my block, we went through a period where there's all sorts of little kids out on bicycles, and then they grew up, they became teenagers in fast cars, and going out at 9 o'clock at night, which Ted doesn't understand. And then, you know, they grow up and they go away. And now, and then for a while we didn't see anybody because everyone was kind of up at this place. And now the little ones are coming back into the neighborhood again. Christian Ed is staying steady with our current budget. We're lucky that we have a lot of people who are generous with us in Christian Ed, and they make donations to us. So we've been able to keep it fairly steady. Our biggest, probably our biggest expenses are for youth activities and curriculum and materials. But our teachers have done a really good job of trying to keep those curriculum materials simple or making donations out of their own pockets. So one thing I wanted to talk to you about was a stewardship of time. That is our biggest need, is stewardship of time. Right now, we're sometimes up to 4 little ones in the nursery, sometimes almost 5. That's good news, folks. That's really good news. You know, we're having more and more children attending Sunday school and coming to our nursery, but we also need people who can step forward and substitute in that nursery when our very good nursery attendant can't be there. We need people who can cover worship and wonder. We need people who can step forward and help with Vacation Bible School, help Michelle with the Advent evening. We need adults who are willing to step in and facilitate a class, and we'll try and support you the best we can. But so anyway, we thank you for those of you who have given of your time. All of you have through the generations. I know. I see people out there that taught my kids and worked with them, and I'm just telling you, we're up in that new cycle in the neighborhood again. And so anyway, thank you for supporting Christian Education. And thank you for your stewardship of time and money. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is the second week of our fall stewardship campaign. We do ask members of the congregation to make a pledge for your estimate of giving in the coming year that helps our stewardship commission figure out the budget for the year. So each of our commission chairs will be speaking to the congregation in these weeks to share different areas of ministry in the church. On November 19th, we encourage you to bring your pledge card to worship that day if you've not already turned it in, and we will have a special service of consecration that morning. If you would now take out the hymnal and turn to page 581, we will sing the first and last verses of Near to the Heart of God as we prepare to pray. Thank you. like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. And I have a special friend who's going to come up and meet you today. Hi, how are you? It's good to see you here. I like your bright orange shirt matches your orange shoes.
Oh, Pastor, he's afraid today. I'm sorry.
Aww.
What do you think we can do to make him feel comfortable?
Mrs. M has a friend with her who was going to come up for children's time, but he's really scared. Have you all ever been scared? No? Max has. Max says he's been scared.
Tyler, it's all right. Oh, he's just
He's
shaking.
Being brave. He's coming up. Good morning. Can you see who
good
this
morning.
Is?
Tyler, can you say good morning?
Hi, Tyler.
Could I sit down here?
Let's make room for Mrs. M and Tyler to sit down.
This is a big step for Tyler. He's new to the area, and he has no friends. Right, Tyler?
Do you guys like making new friends? Is it hard sometimes?
Would you like to
do you hear that, Tyler? The guys here know what it's like to try to make new friends. They know it's
Tyler,
hard and scary.
Listen, why are you so afraid?
No one likes me.
Tyler thinks no one likes him.
I like you.
Oh! Look, did you hear that?
A friend already.
Oh, what's your name?
Carson.
Carson.
Carson. Well, do you think you could be a friend to Carson?
He's thinking about it. Oh, yay!
Carson, how old are you?
Five.
Five. He's 5 years old. I think he's not as old as you.
Yeah, so what?
And how? What's your name?
Asher.
Asher. And how old are you, Asher?
Five.
Do you think you could be Tyler's friend?
I don't know.
He doesn't know. He's not sure. Why not?
He doesn't look like me.
What was that? I think you scared him.
Carson was trying to make a funny face, is what he does with his friends.
Tell me what, Tyler, why do you feel that no one likes to be your friend?
Because I'm strange.
You know, sometimes Pastor Cynthia's kind of strange, too.
You didn't hear that, did you? You know, Tyler, you have to be a friend to make a friend.
Oh, yeah? Is that true?
What do you all think? Is that how you make a friend? You be a friend?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just because you think you're strange, do you think Tyler is strange?
No.
No, why not?
Because he's not.
Because he's not. Well, Tyler, you have two eyes. They all have two eyes.
Yeah, so?
And you have a nose, and they all have a nose.
Yeah, so?
What makes you different?
The kids don't play with me.
I will. Your skin is different, too.
That's right. Is it because you look different with your skin? Oh, I think that was it.
Your skin is fuzzy.
Are you soft?
Yeah.
Are you soft? Yeah. You know what? God wants us to be friends with everyone. Isn't that right, Pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so?
So, I have freckles, but I have friends who don't have freckles.
Look how many
she
freckles
does.
I have.
I don't think you have any freckles.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
do
he
you?
Does. Oh, shit.
Right there. Right here under your eye?
Well, my brother has one.
Yeah, your brother has freckles, and your brother has red hair. I don't have red hair. Can I be friends with him anyway?
Can I be friends with you?
Yeah, I'd like that. But how does that happen?
pray with people?
Do you pray?
Yeah.
And do you play?
I have no friends.
I think Carson wants to play with you. I think he wants to be your friend.
And what does it take to be a friend? Do you know?
Well, good helping and helping people for if they fall or if they hurt themselves. One time it happened to me right here. Well, one time it happened right here. And that really hurt. It was bleeding.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, mine too. Well, it's an actually right sting. Mine did really bad.
I think everybody here has fallen down and gotten a boo-boo. Have you fallen down,
one
Tyler?
Time,
no, I can't.
When I was playing snowball fights, I was playing and no one knew that I had an ice ball and I didn't know and I threw it and I accidentally hit someone and I tried to help them.
Oh, so after you hurt them, you said you were sorry? So that's one thing friends do.
I think so. But you know what else, Tyler? God has taught us the Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah, I know them.
But did you know there's one more?
No.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
There's what's called the greatest commandment.
Oh, no. Not another one.
But this one's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Somebody asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said we're supposed to love God with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind and love our neighbor as ourself. If I love you, Tyler, I'm following God's commandment.
Yeah. I love you.
Oh, can I have a hug?
Thank you for being Tyler's new friend. I think you touched him so much.
Yeah, I did.
Well, how about we have a prayer together and we thank God for all of our new friends?
Okay.
We do it like this.
We'll fold our hands.
I'll fold his hands, okay?
Dear God, we thank you for new friends, for Tyler and Carson and Asher, for all of our friends at church. Lord, please bless your children of all ages, that we might love one another in your name. All God's children said.
Amen.
Tyler, we're so glad that we got to meet you.
Me too.
Our kids now can go to Worship and Wonder or Sunday school or sit in the pew with their families.
Hey. Yeah.
I have brown eyes and you do.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, Tyler, for coming and visiting today and meeting our children. I think they want you to come back. Our prayer concerns are listed on the back of your bulletin. As we share these, I encourage you to take a prayer card out of the pew rack in front of you, write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them, and then place that in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for Wilma Allen, who will celebrate her birthday this week. She's going to be 101. Not surprisingly, Wilma is the oldest member of our congregation. She was a member of this church from infancy throughout her entire life, and we are so blessed to have her as a part of our church family. I encourage you to write a note to Wilma. She goes by Winnie sometimes. And her mind is still clear and sharp. She is living in her own home with the support of family, and we simply pray for God's blessing upon her birthday. We continue to pray for Billy Triplett. He's been at Wyoming Medical Center receiving dialysis. He has a home rented in town, but won't be able to leave the hospital until there's a dialysis plan in place for him. Prayers for Dan Brown, who is Joe McNamara's cousin. He's been diagnosed with cancer and is living with that. Prayers of hope and healing for him. The missionary we're lifting up today is Nancy Lott Henry, who is serving in India. She works as a medical missionary and has been there for many years. Our regional prayer partners, if you'd like to sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary, are the members of First Christian Church in Sterling, Colorado. Their pastor, Lou Champ, shares that they are in the process of assessing their building facility. Now imagine this, a congregation that's beginning to decline in numbers with older members, with an old building that costs a lot of money that needs a lot of maintaining. I'm sure no other church has ever experienced that. Well, actually, many, many churches have. And that's where First Christian Sterling is. So we know what that journey is like, and we pray for them, especially for the leaders of their assessment team. From First Service, I would share a joy from Pat Buck. Her son, Ron, has eloped and is married, and so they are now welcoming a new daughter-in-law into the family, and Jean and Pat are so delighted to have her, to welcome Rhonda into their home and into their family as Roy's wife. So blessings on them. Also from First Service, Carol Sage shared that she has a young friend who's 10 years old, who struggles with migraines and depression. It's a heavy burden for a little one to bear, so please pray for this young girl. Are there other concerns or joys that we want to name today? Linda. Prayers for safe travels for the youth from across the Central Rocky Mountain region as they gather in Farmington, New Mexico for a retreat next weekend. Sarah will be going. Prayers of safe travel for her and a blessing for all of them as they are together. Lonnie.
For all those in our church who are caregivers of their spouse or of other family members or even friends.
Prayers for those who are caregivers, an important calling and a demanding one. Cindy.
My uncle just recently moved to Florida, and yesterday he just felt that, you know, he's out in his golf cart because he lives in one of those communities where that's where people get around, and he pulled over to the side of the road because he was thinking about me and just wanted to call, and it was a 15-minute call, and I swear to you, no exaggeration, 20 people stopped to make sure he was okay. And I just am so thankful that he is in a place with that kind of community.
Prayers of thanksgiving for Cindy's uncle, who's surrounded by caring neighbors. What a blessing. I don't know if the Ostranders want to be bragged on or not, but congratulations are due to Phil. He completed his fifth level black belt in Taekwondo yesterday. I know his wife's been praying hard, so we give thanks for answered prayers. Let us turn to the Lord now in a time of silence as we share our prayers with God. O God of grace and glory, we give you thanks for your abundant blessings in our lives. For sun and moon that mark the passing of the days, the changing of the seasons. We thank you, Holy One, for your constant presence with us, day and night, year in and year out. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Wilma Allen as she celebrates her 101st birthday. We thank you for longevity of life, for her clarity of mind, for support of family and friends. And we pray that she may continue to be in good health and be blessed with joy every day. Lord, we rejoice with the Bucks on a new wedding, with Cindy's uncle for being surrounded by caring friends, for our youth who have the privilege to gather together for spiritual retreat and learning. We pray for safe travels, for blessings abundant upon this gathering of young people who are dedicated to you, O Christ. Lord, we pray for those we know by name and those we know only by circumstance. We pray for Billy Triplett and Dan Brown, for a 10-year-old struggling with health, for families who have lost so much in wildfires and hurricanes, for communities still recovering. We pray for caregivers who, out of love, sacrifice their own energy and time. We pray that you would strengthen them, O God, for those individuals who are caring 24/7 for a spouse or loved one, for those who help with neighbors. We pray for strength and comfort. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Nancy Lott Henry, for medical missionaries who have served in India faithfully so long in the Henry family. We pray your blessing upon those that they work with. We pray for all ministers, giving thanks, O God, for those who have answered your call to a lifetime of service. We give gratitude for ordained clergy, for licensed ministers, for chaplains, and for laity who serve in ministry alongside your dedicated servants. O God, each and every follower of Christ is blessed with gifts to share. In this month of ministry, we reflect on our own giftedness and give thanks for those who serve in your name in so many ways. We pray your blessing upon Reverend Lou Champ and the members of First Christian Church, Sterling, Colorado. O God, for aging congregations, for churches with buildings that are beyond their needs, we pray for new life and bright futures, for clarity of vision and ways to continue to serve you and be faithful, O Jesus, to your name and your calling in the world. In our own congregation, O God, we give thanks for the presence of every generation, for the work of Christian education with our youngest and our oldest, for all in between, Lord, who are called to this place, to love you, to grow in faith, and to serve together. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapel this morning, Pat Buck brought the message, and she talked about the importance of beginning every day by lingering with the Lord, by paying attention to God's presence. She shared personally in her own life the ways in which she reflects on every day as being a gift from God, and she even visualizes each day as a package to be unwrapped, that's filled with surprising blessings. Even in the hardest day, when we're aware of God's presence with us, we know that we are being given a gift. And listening to her message about intentionality and paying attention, I remembered a season of mindfulness in my own life. Years ago, Charles and I were serving together as counselors at church camp in Arizona with high school students. And we spent a week focused around the theme of mindfulness, paying attention to every moment. One evening, the keynoter spoke about mindful eating, paying attention to the flavor of food. It sounds like a simple thing, but perhaps it's a little bit radical. When we live in a fast food society where we're rushing off, having one bite in between a meeting, grabbing something else to shove down our gullet, not paying attention to the gift that food is. During that week at camp, we shared communion together with about 60 high schoolers. The table was spread with different kinds of bread and bunches of grapes. As a sign of sharing the Lord's Supper, each student, each camper, was invited to take a single grape and to think about its color, its texture, to taste its flavor. This morning, as you share in communion, I invite you to be mindful about the gift that you are receiving. Not just the physical flavor of the juice and the cup and the taste of that wafer, but also the spiritual presence of God's love. Let us linger with the Lord. As we share together Holy Communion, we'll prepare by singing number 101, verses 1, 3, and 5, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. As we come to the table to taste the love of the Lord, we invite all who long for God's love in the presence of Jesus to share in this feast. We remember that night long ago in the upper room when Jesus was with his friends. He took a loaf of bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Loving Lord Jesus, we come before you now and confess that you alone are the living God. You alone are worthy of all honor and praise, for you set aside your heavenly glory and came into this world in human form to redeem lost sinners from the curse of sin. And we praise you that we are included in your gracious forgiveness. Thank you that you willingly offered up your body to be sacrificed for our sins. Thank you that your body was broken for us and that your precious blood was shed to pay the full price of all our many sins. And not for us only, but all who trust in your name. Lord, we bow before you in humble submission as we partake of the bread and wine, and we do this in remembrance of you. Amen.
God asked us to give of our time, talents, and also our tithes, but he also wants us to give with our hearts. The diaconate will now wait upon us.
Thank you.
God, you are a promise of love that is never broken. May we give our tithes and offerings simply to love you back and to further your love in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Peg is coming up to lead our responsive reading of a psalm. If you would take out your hymnal and turn to page 746. There is singing. Lonnie, if you would like to play that for us, we'll give her just a minute to get to the piano. Page 746 in the Psalter in the back of the hymnal. We'll be reading responsively Psalm 90. And we'll try the sung refrain, sing praise to God our rock. We'll let Lonnie play it through once, then we'll sing it, and then Peg will begin the reading.
Now, I was going to say all that. I had practiced and practiced.
I wanted to give Lonnie time to get to the piano. I'm sorry I stole your thunder.
And that beats me. Oh, well. You have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals.
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and it is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
Turn, O Lord. How long?
Have compassion on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands.
Thank you, Peg. Our second reading today from the New Testament comes from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible in the New Testament section, it's on page 25. The Greatest Commandment. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. Even with technical difficulties, you lifted our spirits and called us to come and worship the Lord. Thank you. I invite you to pray with me. Come, O Holy Spirit. As we worship you, we bid you to come and speak to us. Stir in our hearts to hear anew and understand more deeply than ever before familiar words of love. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that we may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We continue hearing lectionary readings from the Gospel of Matthew. Sometimes the pericope, that selection of scripture that the lectionary gives, is long and takes unpacking with lots of background understanding. Other times it is brief. Just because today's reading is short doesn't mean it's easy. Oh, it's easy enough to understand love. Love God, love neighbor. Love neighbor as you love yourself. But perhaps in truth, It is a little harder to do. Throughout Matthew's gospel, especially in the recent chapters, Jesus has been confronted by those who would challenge him. Last week, we heard a conversation between the Pharisees and Herodians and Jesus, challenging him, questioning him about paying tax to Caesar. That story made it clear that they were trying to trap this rabbi carpenter from Nazareth. The trickery continues. We've skipped a few verses between last week's reading and this week's reading, and in that passage, the Sadducees come to Jesus, testing him, and again, he silences them. So now the Pharisees are going to try one more time. The Pharisees knew the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but the 600 to 900 laws included in the Levitical code. The Pharisaic law was extensive, but you see, if you spend your life following the letter of the law, you figure out ways to get out of following the heart or the intent of the law. Perhaps it's not surprising with that in mind that there's this little caveat that the Pharisees called up one of them a lawyer. No offense intended to those who practice the fine profession of law, but surely they are the best equipped to know the nuance of law. This lawyer came to Jesus to test him. It's interesting, in the Greek, there's nuance behind a few words we might not pick up on. In verse 34, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, another way of understanding that Greek word silenced is muzzled. Jesus had found a way to stop their yapping. It would be an appropriate technique, perhaps, at our house, where we have a Staffy, an American Staffordshire Terrier. Part of the breed's trait is they are so protective of their people that they will bark at anything that's a threat. A motorcycle, a mother walking a carriage down the street, a leaf blowing in the yard unexpectedly. We are safe from all ills, especially garbage trucks and mail carriers. Charles and I have learned we're not quite Staffy people. There is no effective way to muzzle a Staffordshire Terrier. You can physically clamp their jaws shut so they can't bark, but they will still run like the wind. The Sadducees had been almost like a little Staffy Terrier, torturing Jesus, pestering him one question after another, and he found a way to silence them, to muzzle them, to quiet them. So the Sadducees gave up on the questioning and the testing, and the Pharisees come one last time to test him. There's this, in the Greek, there's this kind of negative twisting connotation behind the word that is translated to test Jesus. The same word in the Greek is used when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He tried to twist him so he would be tied up in knots and unable to be true to his self. The lawyer asked a question, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" It's interesting that it is apparent both to Jesus and to the Pharisees that some of those commandments must be greater than others. Some of those laws must take precedence, must be more important. So even the Pharisees would have agreed it is most important to worship God. That comes at the beginning of the Ten Commandments. The later Levitical code that argues about what to do with rebellious teenage children, what kind of clothes to wear, whether or not you should eat shellfish, all of those other commands are further down on the list. At the heart of it all is your faithfulness to God. So the Pharisees know that there is a priority of commandment, but they think, surely this foolish rabbi upstart with his band of followers will not be able to sum up the law succinctly. Jesus silences the Pharisees by quoting to them what Jews refer to as the Shema from Deuteronomy 6. There is a commandment that is at the heart of all the lives of people of faith. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Deuteronomy says those words simply and succinctly. Love the God who made you with all that you are and all that you have. Love God first and foremost. If you do that, everything else will follow. Jesus recites the Shema back to them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He offers, instead of the familiar all your strength, from the Hebrew, all your mind. It's appropriate when he's arguing or debating with a lawyer representing a group of folks who follow the letter of the law to make them aware that every thought they have, every nuance of debate they want to give in and of itself should bring glory to God. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says the greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And then he goes on to say, a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. After that, the Pharisees had no argument left. The wind had gone out of their sails. For Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, and it was true. If we can only do that, all else will be okay. If we love God with every breath we take, every day we live, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, the world will be an okay place, indeed a beautiful and safe place. If all of God's children could simply do that, to love God and to love one another, there would be no more war or riots or hatred, and perhaps not even as much poverty or hunger or sickness. For in loving our neighbors, we would take care of our neighbors and they would care for us. It sounds so simple. And yet, after 2,000 plus years, we still haven't got it quite right, and so we still need to hear Jesus say to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor, love yourself. We're still working at trying to get it right. The journey is worthwhile. And every generation makes its own progress, its own step forward and step back and trying again. About 500 years ago, Christianity experienced a significant shift in our understanding of what it means to love God and to love neighbor. You see, almost exactly 500 years ago, on October 31st, an event occurred which historians now view as marking the beginning of what's often referred to as the Protestant Reformation. A little bit of history. So Jesus had his friends. Jesus went to the cross, was resurrected. Those friends continued to tell stories about Jesus, and the church was born. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. 2,000 were baptized, and those people traveled near and far and told the stories of the faith. The church evolved over time. People continued to speak of God's love as revealed in Jesus. And then there was a rift in the church, a split between East and West. Still, people continued to tell the stories of faith. At one point in time, almost everyone in the world who bore the label or the title or the name Christian belong to either the Eastern Orthodox Church or the Western Church, the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church spread as empires spread, coming to our own country in the 1500s with Spanish missionaries, teaching the Christian faith from one specific perspective. The Roman Catholic Church became very powerful. And while parts of the church continued to honor God's love and tell the stories of Christ, other parts, because the church is made of people, began to be consumed with power and privilege. There was a practice that no longer exists in the Roman Catholic Church called indulgences. It began as a sincere way for people to pray for the forgiveness of their sins and the forgiveness of sins of those who had gone before. You can imagine being worried if your grandpa lived a life that was less than stellar. Well, you'd really like for his sins to be forgiven, to be sure he has a place in eternity. So the practice evolved that you could go to your priest and pray and perhaps even do penance, give gifts to the poor, commit acts of charity and compassion, do something specific that would honor the faith of those who had gone before to indulge their sin with God's forgiveness. Over time, those who were wealthy and powerful decided it was kind of inconvenient to have to go talk to the priest all the time and to have to keep asking for forgiveness for sins for yourself or someone else that you loved. Wouldn't it be easier if you could just write a check? Even though there weren't checkbooks in those days, there was plenty of money. So the practice of indulgences evolved to the point where if you were wealthy enough, you could just give the Catholic Church enough money and all would be forgiven. Popes and priests grew rich and fat while the poor struggled. There were still people in the pews and priests in the pulpits who loved Jesus, and as they looked at their own church that they loved, they realized this practice doesn't reflect the gospel. One of those people was Martin Luther, a German priest. It was the practice in that day for theological debate to take place in public settings. And so, as was the practice, Luther wrote out his theses, his points of statement and question. In fact, he wrote a list of 95 points and posted them on the door of the cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany. It was an act in the context of his time. There were other theologians who posted other statements. But Martin Luther specifically was calling to account his own church that he loved to evaluate this process, this practice of paying to have your sin forgiven and not worrying about how you live your life. Just put enough money in and all will be well. Martin Luther wrote an extensive statement of why that's contrary to the heart of the gospel. He began, without intending to, a revolution. There ended up being a huge split in the Catholic Church between those who wanted to continue practicing the faith as they had and those who felt it was time for a new way. Also during his life, Martin Luther translated the Bible from the ancient languages of Hebrew and Greek into the vernacular German so that people in his pews could read the Bible for themselves. At the time, it was a radical concept because up until then, it was really only the priests who read the Bible and told people what it meant. So another significant shift happened when Catholics began to protest not being able to have the Holy Word of God for themselves. And so they heard it in their own language. You might not even know whether or not you're a Protestant. Well, my friends, if you're a member of First Christian Church, you are. Yesterday, I was out in the pumpkin patch for a little while, talking with a young man who's a student at Natrona County High School. And he said, so what is this church anyway? And I tried to tell him about First Christian Church, and I asked if he was a Christian. And he said, well, I don't really know. He said, I used to go to church, but I don't know if it was a Christian church or Catholic church. And I assured him if he went to a Catholic church, it was a Christian church. Catholics are Christians. So I tried in the 5 minutes of time that this teenager had to talk to a preacher he didn't know to explain that there's this big umbrella of faith called Christianity, and anyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a Christian. And then under that umbrella, there are different family groups, Catholics and Protestants and Eastern Orthodox. We didn't get much further than that in the conversation, but I realized there might be even someone in church on Sunday morning who doesn't quite know how that family tree fits together under that umbrella. It's interesting that over the last 500 years, the faith of many Christians in the Catholic Church has been revitalized and renewed by the activity of God through Protestants who were protesting these practices that seemed to lead people away from God rather than to God. At the heart of it all, whether we're Catholic or Protestant, and in that Protestant family tree, whether we're disciple or Baptist or Methodist or evangelical or chocolate or vanilla or hazelnut, at the heart of it all is the simple command reminding us to love God. The reason that I'm a minister is because I love God. I was raised in the church, a small congregation in southern New Mexico, and I saw people who were just everyday, ordinary folks who committed themselves to study scripture and sing hymns and feed people who were hungry and pray together and care for one another when someone got sick or died. And somewhere in the midst of that beautiful community, I found that God loves me. I am not worthy for the love of God, and yet it is mine in abundance. And so I respond by giving every breath I have to God to say thank you for saving me from myself, for forgiving my sin, for loving me, even on those days when I don't get up and pray first thing in the morning like I want to. Even on those days when I'm impatient and grumpy with my husband, I know I am still loved, both by my family and my church, but most of all, by God. To me, the beauty of these words from Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. To me, the beauty of this passage is the reminder that that's how God loves us. God, who created the entire universe, God, who could love anyone God wants to, loves us with God's whole heart and God's whole spirit and God's entire strength. All of the knowledge of God is focused into pouring love into us, these imperfect human vessels. That when we're given the most beautiful thing, we tend to split it apart, whether it's the church or our own sanity. Sometimes we fracture things and distort the beauty of creation, and yet the Creator still loves us. In this month of October, when we celebrate the month of ministry, we give thanks for people who give their whole heart to God. But the beautiful thing is whether you're ordained and serve as a pastor or a layperson who worships in a church, anyone who gives their heart to Jesus Christ has the opportunity to receive the abundance of God's love and then to respond with our daily lives. How we spend our time and our talents and our treasure reflects whether or not we love God. And if we love God, loving our neighbors is just part of that. It's a short reading, but there's a lot there. Sometime this week, perhaps, you'll get out your Bible and open up again to Matthew 22 and read again the words of the greatest commandment and reflect on what it means for you to love God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as yourself. May we do this simple thing. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 494. They'll know we are Christians by our love. We'll sing the first and last verses together, and if there is anyone looking for a church home or move to give your heart to Jesus, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. Remind you that there are snacks downstairs in Fellowship Hall, including fabulous pie. So enjoy a piece of pie, a cup of coffee, and a time of fellowship with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for loving us and for helping us to love you and to love one another. Bless now, Holy One, your people with a measure of your Spirit, that we might go forth filled with your love, eager to serve in joy and in peace all whom we meet. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.